Blog Talk Radio.
Amazing Grace School of Ministry, and we are part of Amazing Grace Ministries. Matter of fact, this is a division of Amazing Grace Ministries. And of course, I'm your dean, I'm your instructor. I am Dr. Maria Carey. I'm bringing you this blog that is intended to be to bring you mental health awareness and education. If you need a therapist, if you need therapy, certainly you can reach out to me and I will connect you with mental health providers and resources. That is the goal of this ministry. I have a long background in mental health. Certainly I'm studying now to be a mental health responder coach. And I have been in the social service field for a long time. So it is my endeavor to assist, to educate those of you that are dealing with depression, anxiety, trauma, and of such to get help. This show is dedicated as a resource for training, for awareness, and for education. We are here as a resource for mental health awareness, training, and education. So if you need some help, my name again is Dr. Maria Carey. I have a pastoral, my doctor's degree is in pastoral counseling. I have a master's degree, and counseling psychology. I have a minor degree in sociology and a minor in a major in sociology and a minor in psychology. So it is my endeavor to teach and train, and I am a missionary and ordained elder, to teach and train to give you help. You don't have to suffer alone. You don't have to feel like you in this alone. And I also am a caregiver that's taking care of elderly parents as well. So I'm here for you, and the goal of this ministry is to help to my theme, my objective, my spirit, my scripture that is based on is Hebrews 4 and 12 and 13. And certainly I'm just going to give you verse 12, which it says, "For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I believe that the word of God is able to address every ailment that we may have, every issue that we may have. The word and God is able to heal, deliver, and set free. Praise the Lord. And again, this blog focuses on mental health awareness and education. So we're living in a fallen world. Certainly, if we go back to Genesis and Adam and Eve eating of the forbidden fruit and eating of the tree of knowledge, certainly we begin to see they became aware of themselves like they never were before, thus creating issues of rejection, issues of shame, issues of evil. Cain provided the first murder, and we know that the male, the serpent, and the woman, Eve, were required, or after they bit of the tree of good and evil, there were some things that happened afterwards. So the point of the matter is we're living in a fallen world. We're living in a world that there are things, excuse me, that need to be addressed. And we need to allow God's grace to heal and to forgive. So the topic today was tribalism, understanding cultural biases that have helped to shape social norms. And we're living in a time of unease. We're getting ready to go back to the state is continuing to open up. So Friday, tomorrow, the state of Illinois is opening restaurants back up in terms of you can't go in the restaurants. You can go into the gyms. Of course, the golf courses and those activities have been slowly but surely opening up. We've been in an era of COVID-19. Since March, we've been indoors, we've been sheltering in place, and we've seen a lot of unrest. We've seen issues of anxiety, frustration. We've seen disparities that have highlighted the African-American community in terms of that there are more African-American and brown people dying from COVID-19 than there are the other cultures. So we have that to deal with. And then we We dealt with the injustices that we have always been plagued with, but have come to life given the ability of social media. And that is the killing of African Americans by, and I'm just going to say it, white America. There have been those police officers, and yet there have been those white Americans that have felt, and some other cultures that have felt that they can kill African Americans as if African Americans don't have or are not human. And one of the things we want to talk about today is the injustices that we are facing in terms of our race and our culture. And we thank God that there's so many issues. I thank God for the voters, not the voters, but the individuals that are protesting. And we want to do it correctly. But there was a civil unrest when George Floyd was killed by this police officer who just said that I can kill him, and I'm just going to be frank, y'all, and if you don't like it, give me a text and say, Dr. Carey, that's a little bit, that was a little rough. My telephone number is 309-750-7585, but we need to talk about it. We need to talk about the culture that still exists, racism, the institution of racism that still exists in our land. You know, I watched the movie Salem that talks about the march that walked in Alabama, that walked across the bridge, and the protesting and the unrest of segregation and Jim Crow, and what it was like in the South for African Americans to live and to operate. We were not equal. We were not free. And in that movie, there was a family, certainly, that were protesting. But then this was an African American family that came into a diner to kind of just hide from the police. And this particular police man walks right into this diner where the African-American family is eating or pretending to eat. And the young African-American, I guess he addresses them, and the young African-American really literally fears for his life, gets up, and the policeman just shoots him cold. And yet if we look at the correlation of George Floyd on what happened to this young man, it almost seems like nothing has changed. When we look at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when we look at his legacy, but in reality, things are changing and have changed. When we look at the word in Micah 6 and 8, he says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. Then we go to Psalms 82, verses 2 through 4. It says, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Define the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the land of the wicked. And then this is Isaiah 63, verses 3 through 5. I have trodden the winepress alone. Of the people there were none with me. I will tread them in thine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will slay all my remnants, for the day of vengeance is mine. The day of vengeance is in my heart, and the day of redeem is come. And what the Lord is saying in this verse, and let me finish reading the rest of the verse. It says, and I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arms brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. The Lord is saying, vengeance is mine. You know, the Lord requires a man to do justice, to do justly unto his brothers and his sisters. He has created all of us equal. There is not one man greater than the other. And certainly God will revenge his people, because he says in his word, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So one of the things that we wanted to do, Amazing Grace School of Ministry, we want to talk about social norms. We want to talk about the issues that addressing our people today. And certainly on last week, the nation looked at June 19th. And, you know, the North has not really celebrated that holiday. You don't, in the city of Chicago, I live in the city of Chicago, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but I lived in Oklahoma for 2 years. Matter of fact, I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 2 years. And Tulsa, Oklahoma celebrated June 19th. And particularly the African Americans celebrated June 19th, because that is the day that the African Americans were really freed from slavery. However, when you look at watch meeting services, you know, we celebrate New Year's. We celebrate, for the churches, they have watch me services, which is you watch the old year out and you watch the new year in. You either pray the old year out and you pray the new year in, and then you praise God and you celebrate and you worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he's allowed you to live in another year. Praise the Lord. But that came about because Abe Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and certainly that was signed, and let me give you the date that it was signed. Ooh, excuse me. It was signed on 1863, I do believe, and I do have it in my notes here, but it was signed on 1863. And certainly December, Abraham Lincoln was looking, and there was a war between the South, the Confederates, and the North. And the North, of course, won. And it was a fight. It was a battle. That battle was there because there was an issue of the fact that the South wanted to keep their slaves, but the North said that that was inhumane and that shouldn't take place. So there was a fight. And in doing so, a lot of the slaves signed up for the Northern armies. And on going into January 1st, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was to be signed that would abolish slavery for the United States. And, of course, the slaves in the South and the slaves in the North were praying and seeking the Lord and watching and praying for this to happen. And so in 1863, it occurred. However, in Texas, you know, the enemy, Satan, is just he's just a bad dude. I'm just gonna say it like that, because Texas did not free their slaves until June 19th, 1865. So there is a 2-year difference between the Emancipation Proclamation being signed and enforce the law. So that's where you get Juneteenth from. Juneteenth on June 19, 1865, 2.5 years after signing the Emancipation Proclamation, some 1,800 federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, to take control of the state and ensure that all enslaved people to be free. Now, I want you to, if you will, to educate yourselves. You know, one of the things that they say about African-American people is that put in a book because we will not read it. There is a book that I am currently reading, and I encourage those of you that can and will, I just encourage you to really get that book and really sit down and read it, because it's very informative. We need to know our history. We need to know what happened. And actually, as Hebrews to Negroes, you know, one of the things that we need to learn where we came from. And today we're talking about social norms. We're talking about social norms. We're talking about tribalism. And if we really look at our culture, we were brought to a country. We were brought to a land. We were brought here in 1619. Some 401 years ago, and actually if we really look at it, slavery occurred even earlier than that, because there were some major players that would colonize the indigenous people, and in so doing would set up colonies and different countries. So when we look at the beginning of slavery, slavery in America began when the first African slave was brought to the North American colony of Jamestown, Virginia, in 1619 to aid in the production of crops of tobacco. So slavery was practiced throughout the American colonies in the 17th and the 18th century. And African American slaves helped to build the economic foundations of the nation. And you know, one of the things that's crazy when you hear somebody that's ignorant and don't understand and says, you know, go back to where you belong. You know, one of the things that they don't understand is that there wouldn't be a here if it wasn't for my ancestors, your ancestors. One of the things that they were good at, people were good at, was stripping a people, their identity, their set of norms, their set of values, their set of who they are, in order to manipulate them to make us conform to what they felt like was what we should walk in, therein. So when we look at slavery, when we look at various things that happened to us in history and our ancestors. And, you know, I hear now Dr. Wilson talking about reparations. And at one point I'm like, why? And now, given my understanding of history, I say, well, why not? We are the only people in which the United States have yet to pay for the labor, for mistreating us, for making us look bad in films, and from taking our culture and trying to say that we as a people don't, I fear for my life. That's the statement that the police say, I fear for my life. Well, why do you fear for your life? And even now, you look on the news, even to this senator on the news the other day that had on a mask and made fun of an African-American male that was dying at the hands of a white Caucasian police officer to say that he can't breathe as if it's nothing. And that is the stigmatism and the institutional racism, the institutional set of values that they instinctually have. You know, the black folks can't be nothing, they can't do nothing, and they tell you that you're not going to achieve, and so they don't give you the resources that will allow you to make it. So they close schools in the African-American neighborhood, but yet in other cultures and other neighborhoods, they're flourishing. And I was trying to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go back to a statement of a movie. There's a movie that's on YouTube. I would suggest, I would encourage you, those that will listen to this blog. This is a mental health awareness and educational blog. So this is informative. It's called The 13th Amendment. I pray that you look at this movie, because I cannot think of the director, but certainly I've got to go and get her name. She's an African-American director, and I thank God. Shouts out to those African-Americans that have been successful in movies, successful in being a presence in our movies, in sports. And we've got African-American race car driver, Bubba. Thank God of the presence that we have. We certainly are a talented group. We can do whatever we put our minds to do, because God has blessed us. God has instilled us with abilities and gifts and culture. You know, I was looking at television the other day, and they re-aired the 2017 Smithsonian African-American achievements in history in America. It showcased the beauty of our culture, the beauty of who we are as a culture. And we're talking about social norms. And social norms are a collective of representation of acceptable groups, conducts, as well as individual perceptions. You know, and sociological, perceptive social norms, you know, shaking one's hand after a tennis match is an example of a social norm. So when we look at social norms, it's a code of behavior, a custom that is established by a social group that is not a binding law. I'm sorry, that is social mores, which is a code of behavior. The social norm tells us how to react to social situations. Ooh, it's important to read. And even in that, it is an expected behavior. And I said, yeah, I was correct. For he says, what are social norms and what does it mean? Social norms, the definition of a social norm is the expected behavior in a specific situation. An example of a social norm is the very way a mother will support the actions taken by a child when the child was in fear of his life. Social norms are the rules for how people should act in given groups or society. Any behavior that is outside those norms is considered abnormal. For example, if you live in a society where it is common for people to wear plates in their lips, not wearing plates in your lips would be considered outside the social norms, and that's just a way out. Example. So then we have with the culture. We have our own set of social norms, of rules, of how we engage and how we interact with one another. And then we have another one of how we interact with other groups that are not African American. But again, we were also given a set of rules and regulations. You know, I think of the movie Roots, and by Alex Haley, and there was a more current version of the movie, which newer actors were played in the movie that really, really outlined one family struggle and their history with slavery, coming from being brought over by the boat, and how America, white America, stripped that them of their heritage, of the norms, of the way they did things, and even their own language, so that they could conform and control. You know, we look at control, you know, control, and we're looking at biases too, social norms, and we're also talking about tribalism. And tribalism is the state of being organized by or advocating for tribes or tribal lifestyles. Human evolution has primarily occurred in small groups as opposed to mass societies, and humans naturally maintain a social network. So there is tribalism. When we look at various groups, and you can see this politically when you look at Democrats, when you look at Republicans, when you look at various groups that cling together and develop their own set of social norms and behaviors, and those that don't align with their social norms or behavior is excluded for the group, and even in some point hated because of their differences. And because there has been a long list of depicting African Americans as dumb, stupid, and to be feared, is why you have police officers feeling like, and those that are not police officers, just white folks, to see black down the street and take it upon their hands to just kill somebody and don't feel remorse, is because they don't see us as human. Ooh, I said something. And that is because if you go back in history, and I like Louis Gates, who talks about the slavery. He talks about Reconstruction, Jim Crow, who talks about, and even the 13th Amendment, the movie that I cited earlier, because you would see that the 13th Amendment freed the African American, but that amendment really had a clause in it that will re-enslave the African American by further incarceration. So, you know, we just need to do our history, people. We just need to really begin to allow the Lord, one, to vindicate us, to stand up as Martin Luther Jr. Did. It's still haven't changed, and I thank God for the younger generation that are protesting, that are out in the street. Of course, we don't go with looting. We don't go with breaking into stores. But again, that's the subtleness of other groups that are influencing our culture and our young people to make us look bad.
Ooh.
Yes. So they're acting upon our anger and our frustration. You know, even today, I went out for dinner, went to a restaurant. Of course, I'm the only African American. And of course, you walk into a place and all the other people that are not African American look at you like, why are you here? And then you feel the anger and the frustration of wanting to say, I am a person too. I'm human. My blood runs red just like yours. So when we look and we deal with society and its way of looking at us and how we're portrayed and how we looked at in social media, how we looked at on the news, how we portrayed in every area of society. And then we look and we go back in history and we can say, oh, wow, this is why. Because this has been taught. This has been taught from the plantation owner, the slave owners who have instilled this stigma, this institutional racism in the hearts and the minds, instinctual of their kids and their kids' kids, all the way down to the fifth and the sixth generations. And we're seeing the fifth and the sixth generations now, who feel like this officer is okay to stare you eye for eye and put your knee on the back of an African American. And I love the sermon of Al Sharpton when he talked about if you just take your knee off of our necks. And there's so many African Americans that have come forth to say, yes, this is what I experienced. This is what I had to deal with. This is what I had to deal with to achieve. I went to an all-white school. So going to an all-white school, all-white Christian school, you felt the effects of racism. So let's look at the 13th Amendment, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to wrap it up because we have been talking for quite a bit, and I hope somebody gets something from this conversation. So, in 1865, the amendment abolished slavery, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery in 1865. So, the year the Civil War ended, the United States amended the Constitution to prohibit slavery and involuntary servitude, but it purposefully left one loophole for people convicted of crimes. The 13th Amendment, ratified 1865, says neither slave nor voluntary servitude except as a punishment of crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdictions. Scholars, activists, and prisoners have linked that exception clause to the rise of prison systems that incarcerates black people at more than five times the rate of white people and profits of all their unpaid under labor. So when we look at that again, please look it up. The 13th Amendment, it is done by an African-American director. You will begin to see how the society have used the 13th Amendment to enslave African Americans. We need to educate our folks. We need to be educated. We need to understand what's going on. As Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And certainly we need to understand what's going on. God has given us people to tell us, to inform us, to give us this information, why the young people are angry, why they feel like there's no help, hope. But there is hope because God is hearing the cries of his people. You know, in Genesis, the Lord tells Abraham, and I'm going to read it. This time is winding up, y'all. It's winding up. In Genesis 15 and verses 13 through 14, it says, as he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. 14, and also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterwards shall thy come out with great substance. Exodus 12 and 14, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 400 years and 30 years. We are the seed of Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. Jews, and I know they're fighting over in Israel, but we are still the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. And because we are the seed, African Americans, we have come from all over the world, but God is still blessing his people. We are a blessed people. We are not a cursed people. We have always had to fight, but the Lord has always provided a ram in the bush. He will make a way out of no way. He will provide for us. And certainly if we give him the glory and the praise and the honor, he will lift us up and he will ensure that our seed is blessed. We are a talented people. We don't need to get angry. We just need to let the Lord fight our battles and stand for what's right. And God will do the rest. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this blog. I thank you for this school of ministry. I pray, God, that something has been said that will enlighten your people, Father God. I pray, God, that you'll draw them to you. If there is someone that don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, all you have to do now is confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say these words. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I repent in the name of Jesus. I accept Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior right now in the name of Jesus. And if you have done that, you are saved. Give me a call at 309-750-7584 and let me know. Or just give me a comment in the comment box and say, Dr. Carey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I will praise God with you, and I will direct you to a church home that will benefit you and give you the Word of God. Amen. And those of you that says, Dr. Carey, I want some of your resources, I want the name of the books and the resources you have used on today's blog, I will be happy to inform you and give you my information, because I want all people to be informed and enlightened and know your history. We have got a resource. We have got an enormous rich resource, meaning we have come for kings and queens. We have been educated. We have people like Langston Hughes. We have great comedians that have paved the way. We have preachers, teachers, musicians. We have those that have sung opera. We are a talented people. And young people, don't forget that. Be blessed. I will see you on Saturday. I invite you to tune in on Saturday, this coming Saturday. I will be doing our last blog on the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit, long suffering. And that will tie in to what we've been dealing with on today in terms of suffering. Hallelujah. But we still are overcomers. God bless. I see you on Saturday. Bye-bye.